approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and reviews, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongvineAuto.com. I'm Greg Ray, and this morning we'll be joined by Emporia State football coach Garen Higgins as the Hornets wrapped up spring practices and looking forward to the fall of 2022 as doesn't seem like it's should be that close, but coach, it's a couple months away, and we'll be getting the fall football season underway.
Yeah, it goes by so quickly, Greg. You know, it doesn't seem very long ago we were playing in a bowl game, and now here we are finishing up the end of the semester and getting ready for the summer.
Looking at the spring, going into it, did you have a plan? Did you have kind of an idea of what you wanted to accomplish this spring?
Yeah, I think all springs are pretty well similar in the fact that it gives you a great opportunity to evaluate your younger players, players that maybe were not thrown in the mix or, you know, they don't have much experience in playing in games, especially like our redshirt freshmen. Think about those guys where when camp starts, they get reps. You know, maybe the first week and a half, and then you start sending, you know, then they start becoming scout team players, and they begin to run the other team's offense or defense. So they lose a little bit there throughout the fall. So it's good for us to be able to see what they can do in the spring. And then there's also things that, from a schematic standpoint, where you might want to look at changing a few things, you know, like we have an offensive identity, we have a defensive identity, and we just want to build on that in the spring. And that's where maybe you tinker with some different types of maybe route concepts or blitzes or things like that. So you're able to do that. So you kind of go into the spring with that as well. So typically it's the same. The main goal for me that I think about is just continuing to get better, but staying healthy, where meaning that you don't lose anybody in spring where they can't go through the fall.
Well, you mentioned injuries, and that was a big part of I look at the list of the guys who didn't participate in last night's scrimmage, and there's some names of guys that played key roles for you last fall that who aren't out there, but it was because of injuries they sustained during the season last year. And it's one of those scenarios, you know what you're going to get from Dalton Cowan.
Right.
You know what you're going to get from Will Amos. You know what you're going to get from Keelan Gordon. You know what you're going to get from Cade Harrelson. You know what you're going to get from Dawson Hamas. Most of these guys go down. You know what you're going to get from them. Dexton Swinehart, you know what you're going to get from him. And that's what makes it – it opens the door for – in my eyes, it opens the door for some of those younger guys to get the reps that they would have been getting during the spring.
Yeah, and that is so true. Like, you don't want somebody like Dawson Hamas to get injured. He broke his collarbone snowboarding. So you don't want guys like that to get hurt, but you are exactly right when it gives other guys an opportunity to get more reps. And you know, and then you lose a player like Jace McDowell, so you really want to look at some guys at that Mike linebacker position, and there you have a player such as Declan Hobb, who, you know, we moved to Mike, and I think has had a really good spring, still has a long way to go, but I think he makes us feel comfortable as a staff, especially on our defensive coaches. So you're exactly right on that. Some other guys, unfortunately, get an opportunity.
You were talking about tinkering, and how much of it, when you start tinkering, do you start looking at, okay, these are the players we have coming back. We know what their abilities are. How do I make the most of those abilities? How do I accentuate their positives? How much of that tinkering is based around that?
Well, in the spring, I don't think much I think that happens more in the fall, you know, when you get into like truly game planning, you know, yeah. per week. And if you want to get a receiver a certain amount of targets, or, you know, you want to try to get somebody isolated on, you know, a defensive back that you feel like you can take advantage of, or even maybe just feel like you can run the ball against the team, so you may go into it running the ball a little bit more. So that's more in the fall. In the spring, it's more like, hey, let's look at this concept, see if we like it, you know, see if we can add something to one of our route concepts, or, you know, like, for example, defensively, I feel like that we need to be a little bit more aggressive. I feel like that we need to maybe put pressure on the offense a little bit more and not be so much on our heels, attack a little bit more, you know, by blitzing or zone fires, or, you know, just being physical in the secondary, you know, trying to knock receivers off their rhythm. And I think that that was one of our goals that we wanted to do this spring. And I think that, and I believe that we did, you know, defensively, I felt like we brought more pressures against us this spring. They were physical, you know, working on being more physical in the secondary, because, you know, we gave up a lot of big plays last year, Greg, you know, so that's yeah. another thing. You know, you have a plan. Well, our plan is to stop that from happening. And you're not going to completely stop it. It's just part of the game. You know, you're going to have guys going to, you know, there's good teams in this league. They're going to make big plays. So you just want to try to limit those.
And for me, for last season, I felt a lot of it was you had a lot of young guys playing in that secondary that were just learning how to play college football and learning some of the tricks. And hopefully now they've got that learning portion over, and now becomes more instinctive for them instead of reactionary and trying to think, okay, how do I need to cover this guy?
Yeah, no question. I mean, you look at a guy like Derek Maxwell, who was a transfer, came in, and it took him a while to get adjusted. A lot of times that happens. And then, you know, we just had a lot of young guys, but we had some older guys back there too. It was just a mix. And I think the main thing was just guys maturing, you know, and guys just kind of, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, just growing up a little bit and taking responsibility and being more consistent in their play and having a, you know, a little bit better leadership back there. And I think we have that, you know, in somebody like Jaden Poole. So I think it's just a challenge as that unit. It would be a challenge if I was playing that position or I was coaching that position. It'd be the challenge of like, look, we have to get better. For us to be successful in the fall, this is one position that needs to get better. And I think that they did. But you really never know. Because here's the thing about it, Greg. I've had a lot of players look really good in the spring, and they don't show up in the fall. And I think part of it is no matter how much you bring people in the stands, you turn the lights on, you have a spring finale game, whatever, scrimmage, you have officials, it is still not the same as a real game.
And you can't beat playing experience, can you?
You can't, you know. So, like, you know, you get beat deep on a ball in a spring scrimmage. Well, I mean, parents may not be there, and it doesn't go on your one loss record, you know. So you just, yeah, you're upset. But come Monday, you're back to normal.
Last season, obviously, making it to a bowl game was a big plus for last year's team, and especially for the guys that are coming back. But in talking with both Jaden Poole and Corey Thomas last night, after they felt like the spring was a very good spring for them and for the offense and for the defense, but the one thing they both said also, that last season didn't end the way they really wanted it to end. They felt like they needed to be better. That drive of wanting to be better, did you see that during the spring?
Yeah, I think in looking back too, in reality, we were an average football team last year. I mean, we were what we were. We were 6-6, you know. I mean, and honestly, Greg, before the season started, I didn't know if we'd be an average football team. We struggled a lot the previous spring when in our two scrimmages, especially offensively. We looked like that we may not score any points, would be, you know, and I think that that was a little bit of a surprise. You know, last fall, but we're an average team, and I think that overachieved at times, you know, but that's a good thing. To me, that's a good thing because I feel like we have a good group, you know, and we have a team, and those guys that you spoke of right there, yeah, there's unfinished business, and they feel like it didn't end the way they wanted to, and that was tough. It was awesome being able to go to a bowl game. If you'd have told me that before the season started, like, Coach, you're going to have a chance to go to another postseason bowl, I would have been like, I wouldn't have believed you, you know. So I will take that, and you're right. Now we just need to build upon it, and I do think we'll be better than average, you know, this year because of what we went through and playing in a lot of those close games, and we have good leadership.
We're visiting with Emporia State football coach Garen Higgins here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmontAuto.com. We'll take our first break. We'll be back with more from the coach right after this timeout.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
This is Rand Hopkins of Complete Works Custom Engraving. Remember getting your first trophy, ribbon, or plaque? Recognition can change lives and improve performance. Becoming a part of the team is a process, and a recognition program that is not only fair and consistent, but also affordable, can help someone be the team player that you need. Come learn the value of recognition. For the largest selection of affordable awards and trophies, come visit Complete Works Custom Engraving at 610 Commercial.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongmontAuto.com. And as during the break, we were talking about quarterback Braden Gleason, who we saw in the way you broke up spring finale last night. It wasn't just four quarters of football, your offense against the defense, splitting it up the team evenly. You had some what you were calling championship drives, and then you had the live play, and the live play was where you used a lot of your younger players and guys who didn't see a lot of playing time in games last year, and we got a chance to see that, hey, those guys can make some plays too. But during the championship drives, that's where we saw your starters. You have 10 starters back from last year's team that played in the Live United Bowl. The only one who's not back will be one of your offensive linemen, Miles Wade. He's decided, you know, I've put in my time on the football field.
Graduated.
I'm graduating. I've got a job waiting for me, so it's time for me to make the move on. And we congratulate him on an outstanding football career and wish him well in his next step of his life. But during those championship drives, to me, the offense looked like it was clicking almost at midseason form.
Yeah, Greg, it's I believe you're exactly right. I feel good about where we're at offensively. I feel as good as what I felt like back in the days of, you know, Braxton going into his senior year with Landon and Justin Brown and, you know, all those guys, to going back to Brent Wilson, Mitch Foote, you know, Austin Willis, Mo Williams, that type of group. I mean, we are, and it starts with the quarterback. It does, and Braden's grown and come a long way and has an opportunity to do some great things here that other guys have done. He's his own guy. He goes about it in a way that, you know, I don't know if he has all the talent that Braxton or Brent had, but he has the mindset. You know, he's a coach's son, and he studied. You know, he watches film every day. You go up there at 11:30. He's in the film room. You know, so, and I think you can see that, like you said, and how he executed last night. Even if, you know, his first throw or his first progression's not there, he's able to get through the 2 to 3, and he understands the blocking schemes by the guys up front. You know, I mean, we will be able to do some things with Braden that we've not been able to do with really any of our guys here when it comes to giving him maybe instead of two plays, he gets three plays and will put us in the right one. You know, I really truly believe that. So those guys up front got to stay healthy. I think he's confident in those guys, and they're playing at a high level right now. They really are. And then you get those receivers back. You know, you get Will back, you get Dex back, and, you know, Jalen Barner, I think, and Corey Thomas. I look for those guys to have big years. You get Dalton Cowan. Dalton Cowan was a huge loss for us last year. You know, we lost him after the fifth game, and going back and watching his play in the first five games, changing position, he was a difference maker. You know, he really was. And to get him back this fall along with Tommy Zimmerman, you know, Tommy gained valuable experience as a redshirt freshman. We really do got a chance to be really good.
You going to have enough balls for everybody?
Now, we always talk about that at the beginning of the year, like the game of football is played with one ball. So, you know, everybody's got to understand that not everybody's going to be able to touch it all the time. And for us to be successful, we're going to have an unselfish mindset. And, you know, I believe that we will, because I believe the type of players that we have on this team and over on offense to where, yeah, everybody's got egos. I'm not going to say we don't, but they're not so bad that they, you know, are a detriment to the football team. And that's the thing that I like about these guys. You got guys that have been in this offense for 4 or 5 years. It's, you know, and when you got guys with that type of experience, it makes it easy as a coach. You can do more things, you know, and that's what I look forward to, you know, next fall. And again, the key is for us to stay healthy.
And you, one player that you really didn't have all season long because he got injured so early in the season was Will Amos. And I know he got injured before the first game in practices, and he was never 100% healthy when he was out there. And I've talked to him a couple times. He says, you know, I probably should, when I first got injured, I probably should have should have let myself get healthy. But he wanted to play in that first game so badly, and he's just a competitor. He wants to go out there and play. But sometimes when you got those type of guys, it's kind of hard to tell them, hey, you need to get yourself healthy first. And sometimes they realize it and sometimes they don't. But Will Amos, I see, is another one of those guys who can be a difference maker for you.
Yeah, just think about Will. 2019, there was the year that he played basically the full season. I think he missed the first two games of that year, too, due to injury and getting some academic issues taken care of. But and he caught 44 footballs. He caught 44 balls as a redshirt freshman. And then we didn't play in 20, and then last year he gets hurt. And really, you're exactly right. He should have – that kid – is when you go out and recruit, you want to find guys like him because he loves the game of football, Greg, and he'll play. You know, football is a physical game. It's a tough man's game, and it's not easy. And he's just one of those guys. He reminds me of Danny Goodman. Danny played at times with a foot that was, you know, broken, basically, and it just tells you the toughness about those guys. And Will would catch a pass and would come off on the sidelines, and tears would be in his eyes. He was in so much pain, and eventually we just had to get it. He had to get it fixed. So it'll be good to see him. He's gained weight, you know. You know, he was a great player in high school, and he just started to kind of get to be familiar with the offense after that, his redshirt freshman year. He's a smart kid, and he loves the game of football. So, and he knows that there's a lot of talented players at that position, and he better be ready, or there could be lost playing time, you know. So, and competition makes you better.
Let's talk a little bit about your quarterback. We just touched on briefly Braden Gleason. He'll be a junior, but as I told you during the break, I felt like watching him, he looks like he really feels comfortable back there in the pocket, making the decisions, and doesn't get hurried. He makes a lot of the right reads, and he completes a lot of balls. Part of that is a well-thrown ball, but the other part of it is he's got some receivers who can make some catches.
Yeah.
Where have you seen him maybe make the most improvement here this spring?
I think just the maturity of, like, coming into his own development and being able to take, you know, I can't coach him all the time. You know, being the head coach, you got a lot of other duties that you got to do, right? So I think him taking it upon himself to become the best quarterback he can be. You know, he wants to be a football coach when he's done playing. He wants to start off and be a GA. So he already has that football mind and wants to study the game, to whereas, you know, the great ones that I've had before, Tyler Eckenrode, he's in the business world, making a lot of money, more than me. Brent Wilson, same thing. Braxton, you know, having a great time and where he's at in South Carolina. But those guys aren't coaches, I know. So, like, Braden wants to be a coach, and that's where I see the difference. And that's where I see the maturity level. You know, last year it was, I told him, go into the year and just work on becoming a better player. Be a leader when you can, but you don't have to put the team on your back. Going into this year, now let's work on being a great leader because you understand the offense and really getting guys to follow you. And I think that is one of the big improvements that I see from him this spring.
And to go along with that, you mentioned being a leader. I see guys that are willing to follow him and listen to him and let him lead them. And that's a big part of it. Sometimes you get guys who, I don't know if I trust this guy. He's earned their trust.
Yeah. And the way you earn their trust is by what you do off the field, the work you put in, the true work, and then by your play. I never forget the story of Danny Goodman telling me, riding on the bus to go play Fort Hays, Brent Wilson's sophomore year, his first game to start. And Brent and the other Danny and the other offensive linemen are talking, and they don't know what we're going to have offensively, because Brent, the last game he played in 2012 was against Southwest Baptist. He threw three interceptions something.
I remember that.
You know, you remember, I've heard a lot of people tell me you're crazy if he's a starter. Well, they didn't know. But after that first game, he threw 435 yards. Danny said they knew right then and there that they were going to follow that guy. So, again, based off play, which Braden has done that, and he's tough, guys respect him, and that's where it starts.
Well, and last night we also saw your backup quarterbacks get in some playing time, and I was encouraged by what I saw. You know, Jack Diamond, I thought he had a good night. Chase Rickey, I thought he had a good night, and then Liam Thornton. Also, I thought
two touchdowns.
Threw two touchdowns. I thought your backup quarterbacks showed some things.
Yeah, and when you say the word backup quarterbacks, that's plural, right?
Right.
That means that's a battle. You know, somebody's going to have to, you know, if something, you know, knock on wood, I don't even want to talk about it, but if somebody's got to step up and be the next guy in line, who is that going to be? And that's where we're at right now. All three of those guys bring something different to the table. You know, I think maybe Jack Diamond might be able to help us in some other areas, honestly, because he's a 225-pound strong kid who loves this football program. And then you got Chase Rickey, another coach's son, and he has grown, and he's come a long way. He's a winner, comes from a winning football program in high school. And Liam Thornton is just a kid from Texas that just got a lot of – he's just a tough neck. I mean, he's tough. He's a tough kid. He whenever I get on him, he doesn't budge, you know. And usually I like to see how those guys respond to me getting on him a little bit at the quarterback position, because I think it's hard. I think it's tough to play quarterback here. I really do. You know, I know the guy that I played for, and I'm not exactly like him by any means, but I feel like I'm tough on those guys, you know. But I feel like I do it for a reason, because I feel like they need to handle the type of pressure that they're going to handle in the MIAA. And he doesn't budge, man. He looks me dead in the eye and is like, is that all you got, coach? I'm going to keep playing, you know. So that's what I like about him. So it's going to be a continuous battle throughout fall camp next year.
Well, it's nice to have options, knowing that, okay, if, knock on wood, you know, you had to go to option two, you have some options at that particular situation. And you got some guys who are, you know, and from a quarterback standpoint, in high school, you're probably the best quarterback on your team. You probably won a lot of games as a high school quarterback. And if you transferred wherever you were at, you were probably getting some playing time. Like Jack transferring from NEO, he got a lot of playing time at NEO. You come here and you find out, oh, I'm not number one on the pecking list right now. And that takes a mental that's a mental challenge for some guys.
It is, and especially at that position, because all quarterbacks, you know, they have the mindset that they're you know, probably pretty cool and are pretty good.
Yeah, they're all Tom Brady.
They're all Tom Brady, you know. So I just think that and it's not high school, too, where, you know, let's be honest, you know, we're guys that are – a lot of times you'll see a senior that'll play because he's a senior. You know, I mean, there may be a sophomore quarterback that is maybe just as good. Not completely better because there's special guys. Usually if that sophomore is really good, he's going to be a Division I kid. But, you know, sometimes you have guys that play because of where they're at, you know, within their year, you know. Right. And you're not going to see that in college. And that's what I tell them. Like, this isn't high school. If a freshman's better than a junior, the freshman's going to jump ahead and he's going to play. You know, I mean, so, I mean, this is what I do for a living, and I'm going to make the decisions that are going to be best for this football team. So I think it does take those guys a little while to understand that, man, you know, Jack Diamond comes in here. He's a kid that started, I don't know, 5-6 games maybe at NEO, and, you know, there's a kid that's younger than him is got the chance to be the starter, and he earns the job. And the great thing about Jack is that, you know, he's accepted it, and he knows he's in a battle for the backup spot against two younger guys, you know. So, and Chase is a kid that is older than Liam. Liam was a redshirt last year. He didn't get any. He's one of those guys that for the first week and a half got a few reps and then had to go down and imitate the team's offense we were playing each week.
Just as a side thought, the quarterback's playing scout team quarterback. How valuable can that be for their development and maybe understanding the game a little bit?
Well, I think it maybe helps with understanding the game. What I don't like about it, Greg, I think they pick up bad habits, you know, because they begin to revert back to the maybe some things they did in high school with their footwork, how they release the you know, their arm angles and just maybe throwing into – you know, yeah, throwing into a crowd, you know. I mean, and you talk to them about working on their fundamentals and sticking with the things that we do and trying not to. But I'm not down there with them. You know, I'm over yeah. there with offense. And we talk as a staff, like, how they're doing, you know, whether it's an offensive or defensive player. You know, we want to know how our guys, our signees are doing to make sure they're giving effort and they're giving a good look. And I think that's the main thing, I guess, if they need to learn from scout team is that they need to treat it like they're the starter and that's their role. You know, and we'll have them watch film on the other team and they'll try to mimic the things that – you know, that quarterback does. And that's not what we do. So that's the only thing I worry about is the bad habit part.
We're visiting with Emporia State football coach Garen Higgins here on Saturday morning sports talk. And before we go to our next break, and after the break, we'll talk a little more about the defense. But on the offensive side, and we touched on it briefly, that offensive line. I've talked to you a couple times during the spring, and you've really been pleased with the progress made by the guys up front.
Yeah, I think that first, I think Coach Cashdollar does, and that's his real name, he does a great job with the offensive line. Those guys are, you know, are consistent. You know, we're returning experience there. We got to keep them healthy. They got a chance to really lead this offensive unit. I know that you always say the quarterback and Braden Gleason, who, you know, at one time, I think, led the country in total yardage. But it starts with those guys up front. We have a really good running back in Kanan Brooks, but it starts with those guys up front. So, and they've gotten better. They've gotten better from the moment they started fall camp last year to right now. And the key for us is depth. You know, we got some other guys that still got a long ways to go. And, you know, you never really have a lot of depth at that position in the MIAA, and that's tough. I mean, some teams do, but very rarely do you see it. So those guys are – and I think Braden has so much confidence in those guys up front too, which helps.
And you've got a lot of young guys who are really playing key roles. When I start looking down the list, of course, Hayden Reed, who's had a great career, he'll be a senior this next year.
Well, he's already graduated. He'll have his master's degree. Heck, he might have his doctorate by the time he's done here, Greg.
And then Connor Leertz, who is a transfer from Hutch, who's really turned into a great offensive lineman for you.
Oh, brings toughness. I worry about him getting a flag every once in a while. He's one of those edge guys. You know, he's living right on the edge, Greg. He's definitely not a milk drinker.
And then Xavier Kaysen, the Junction City kid whose brother was here at Emporia State, and he followed him along. And, boy, he's turned into a really good offensive lineman.
Thing about Xavier, played tight end and defensive end in high school. It's a job as a Division II football coach sometimes is just to find a place for guys. Sometimes it changes, and there's a perfect example. He's put on 40 to 50 pounds probably since he's been here. He's athletic. I would say he's a milk drinker in a good way because he's going to be an elementary school teacher. He needs to be a milk drinker.
And then the rest of them, as I look down the list, a lot of freshmen, redshirt freshmen, and sophomores have played some key roles for you the last –
You know, I look at a guy like Dante Smith Posey, man. He's a kid that is doing – he's a back – you know, like, well, he's got a chance to start for us, but he was a backup last year, played as a redshirt freshman. He's had a great spring. Sherman Deaton. Sherman started for us as a redshirt freshman at right tackle. He's put on 20 pounds. I mean, the way that Sherman looks and the way, you know, he's going against, you know, these guys are going against Jordan Williams. Jordan Williams, to me, he's got a chance to be the best defensive, one of the best defensive linemen in the MIAA, and those guys are doing a good job. You know, Jordan makes those guys better. So, and then you got a guy like Carlos Guzman who's played a little bit. We need to see more from him. I mean, I know there's probably somebody I'm forgetting, but, you know, Dante Smith Posey, Sherman Deaton, Carlos Guzman, those guys are young guys that are getting better and need to continue to get better because, hey, after this year, we're going to lose Hayden Reed. We're going to lose Connor Lears. We're going to lose Xavier Kaysen. I'm getting sick thinking about it. I'm going to stop talking about it.
Well, they still got a season to go, so some time to develop those guys. We need to get our second break in. We'll be back with more with Coach Garrett Higgins right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
This is Rand Hopkins of Complete Works Custom Engraving. Remember getting your first trophy, ribbon, or plaque? Recognition can change lives and improve performance. Becoming a part of the team is a process, and a recognition program that is not only fair and consistent, but also affordable, can help someone be the team player that you need. Come learn the value of recognition. For the largest selection of affordable awards and trophies, come visit Complete Works Custom Engraving at 610 Commercial.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com and hearing the spot from Complete Works. That reminds me, we do need to select our Complete Works Athletes of the Week. And before we continue our visit with Coach Garen Higgins, we'll go ahead and select our Complete Works Athletes of the Week. For our Emporia High Athlete of the Week, we're going with Emporia High golfer Caden Massey, who had a second-place finish at Salina yesterday and had a fifth-place finish at Topeka Seaman. He's off to a nice start. And Caden Massey of the golf team is our Emporia High Athlete of the Week. And for our Area Athlete of the Week, we're going over to Council Grove. And Jordan Picolette at the Council Grove Invitational finished first in the 16, the 32, and the 800-meter runs in the Council Grove Invitational earlier this week. So Jordan Picolette of Council Grove is our Complete Works Athlete of the Week for our area high school. So Jordan Picolette of Council Grove and Caden Massey of Emporia High are Complete Works Athletes of the Week. And getting back to your football team, let's go over to the defensive side. You graduate, some good defensive players, one of them being Jace McDown, who's now helping out coach the team, at least during the spring. And during the spring, you didn't have guys, Cade Harrelson, you didn't have Dawson Hamas in there defensively. Also, Keelan Gordon, one of your key defensive backs, wasn't available to play. Did you find some guys that maybe could help maybe fill some of those roles?
Yeah, we did. I think if you look at the corner spot, which I felt like is in one of those spots that needs to mature and needs to be consistently better, I think Khalil is one of those players. I think Montrell Wilson is another one that has, you know, stepped up. I really do believe that. I look for those guys to have an opportunity to be good players for us next year and be more consistent. I look at with Cade and both and losing Jace, as I said, as I spoke earlier, Declan Hobb is a kid that has, you know, he's gotten bigger, stronger. You know, you got to be a smart guy to play that Mike position. It's kind of like the quarterback over on defense. And he's had a really good spring. You know, he's gotten stronger. He's gotten bigger. You know, I mean, football's important to him. And he's stepped in that role, you know, and I think he's kind of grown more. Not to say that we were surprised by it, but just how he's kind of taken it on and grasped it and said, hey, you know, I want to be the starting Mike linebacker this year. I know I got big shoes to fill, but I'm ready for the challenge.
And then, of course, up front, you did graduate a couple of guys that had big roles up there. And the thing that had me excited about last fall is that I saw some younger players get some playing time that could definitely fill some of those roles.
Yeah, we lost Merrick Thompson, you know, and he was a 4-year starter for us, basically. And you got a guy like Rafe Goucher. Rafe is a redshirt freshman last year that stepped in and played a big role for us and was a guy that maybe played a little bit earlier, maybe what we thought. Now he's coming back, and he will be, you know, the starting nose for us, which is in our defensive package. That's vitally important. And then you got a guy like Jordan Williams, who I spoke of, and, you know, he's coming back for, I don't know, his fifth year. Maybe I think he's got another year after this, but he is a terror. I mean, he is very difficult to block. If we can block him, then we can block anybody in the league. You know, I'm looking for him to take it to another level and be that dominant player up front that you need to have in this league that can, you know, cause disruption and can make a difference, you know. And you look at the great teams in the league, you know, you look at Northwest Missouri, where does it start? Well, it starts those guys up front. You know, I mean, we've had a hard time blocking those guys in the last 15 years, yeah. You know, so you got to have those guys up front to get pressure on the quarterback and be able to get pressure on the quarterback, whether you're rushing 3 or 4, and you don't have to be a team with different pressure packages. But I think it's good that we are, you know, not being on our heels as much and being a little bit more aggressive in what we're doing defensively.
Overall, with this team, did you have any guys that you redshirted last fall, kind of this fall, say, you know, coach, I'm ready to take that next step. I'm ready to make myself. I'm going to try to make it as tough as possible for you to pull me off the field.
Yeah, that's a good question, Greg. I think you know, looking at this. When you talk about that, I'm going to say one of the players is like Tyler Common, you know, over on the offensive side of the ball. He played a lot last year, but you know, maybe he's a name that you just don't recognize that has an opportunity to do some really good things. I think Christian Carrera. A redshirt freshman from Dumas, Texas. Unfortunately, he got hurt in our first scrimmage. He hurt his elbow, but I think he was showing that he could be a quality backup in this league. And I think that's where you want those guys, those redshirt freshmen, going into their, you know, fall where they can play, is you want to see those guys become quality backups, you know. And that's where I think, like a guy, like I said, like Christian Carrera. I'm just kind of looking at the list here. Kobe Holly is possibly one of those players. You know, LaVon Jones, linebacker. I think LaVon still has a long ways to go. Andrew Cahill, all right, safety. He's a corner, but we moved him to safety. He's part of that freshman class we signed last year that now will be going into his redshirt freshman year. I think he really showed signs that he could be a guy that can have a role for us next year.
And, of course, last night you also had some of your signees that were here. Any of those, the newcomers, are they going to get much of a chance to see the playing field, or is they going to have to kind of be up to them and see how it goes in the fall?
Well, you know, if you go by how it's been here, you know, the last, you know, 10 years, is a lot of those freshmen, there's usually maybe one, maybe, and a lot of times it might be a kicker, punter, or deep snapper that gets to play. But I think you look at a guy like Shahid Pinkston, who is one of our offensive linemen. You know, we went into, you know, there was some you know, FCS type schools looking at him, and he was there last night, and if you saw him down the field, you know, he looks like a guy like you'd be asking, well, who is that? You know, maybe he can come in and provide depth. It's just so difficult at that position because there's such a big learning curve, and I think it's easier for skill guys at that spot. There's a kid by the name of Kingsley Bennett, you know, who's a 10.5, 10.6, 100-meter guy. He wasn't here last night, but he is a guy that could have a role as far as, like, special teams, returners. I mean, he'll make a guy miss in a phone booth, and he can just accelerate at the drop of a hat, you know. And sometimes guys like that, as far as picking up the offense, just throw them a bubble screen, all right? Me and you go out and run a bubble. Now, we're out getting yardage, Greg, but, you know, Ron, he can run a bubble route and just catch a screen pass and try to get as much yards as you can, make some guys miss. That's where a guy like Kingsley Bennett might help us, you know. So those are guys, and again, I never like to anoint those freshmen of being difference makers, but those are guys that possibly could have a chance, you know, to play. But we got so much depth, Greg, and got, you know, big number of guys on the team, and hopefully we don't lose anybody to the transfer portal. You know, as of right now, we've only lost one guy, and that was, you know, unfortunately a player whose mother passed away and wants to be close to home, you know, not because, hey, I'm not getting enough playing time. You know, he was a kid who would start for us possibly. So if we can keep that intact, you know, we got depth. It's hard. So it's gives us the opportunity to redshirt those freshmen.
Well, we're almost out of time, but wanted to give you just a chance. Last night, not only did we get a chance to see the future of Emporia State football, we had a chance to see the past of Emporia State football with the Legends games. It's good to see some of those guys out there.
Yeah, it was great. You know, earlier, Steve Satter had sent me a text about Mitch Foote, wanting to know if he had another year of eligibility with COVID. Unfortunately, you know, Mitch was – I wish we could have changed when Mitch was done, changed something on his birth certificate or changed his name. But the best thing about that is just being able to see former players. And there were a lot of older guys there last night, guys that played in the 80s, 70s. Man, we had a huge, huge group, which is awesome. You know, and then you had guys like Mitch Foote, Jordan Tice. Those guys come back all the time. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get Brent back. He couldn't make it back. A lot of these guys that just got done playing with me, they're fathers now, and they got young kids, and they, you know, they got duties they got to do. You know, I mean, they're not all like me that kind of got to do what, you know, whatever he wanted to do. They got to do a good job. So it's fun seeing those guys. It's fun seeing the Legends game. It's fun watching guys like, you know, Mitch Foote catch a corner route touchdown. That's what he did. You know, I mean, a lot of people remember seeing him on the field doing that, wearing number 8. That's the number he had last night. And it was fun. We had some guys like Darryl Bowman. He played in the Legends game. You know,
he caught a pass.
Those guys were the MVPs. I said anybody over 50 was the MVP, and I think I might have been one of those guys. All right, so
well,
Rob Veneman, Rob, I did, yeah, but hell, I was 7 yards. You know, Rob Veneman played. You know, he's I mean, guys like that were playing in the Legends game. We didn't know how old they are, but that was fun. You know.
Good to see Chris Catholic out there.
Hey, Chris Catholic, my fullback. He's not used to catching passes. Of course, Tony Phillips is there, and I played with Tony. Tony's come back every year. That means a great deal to me. And, you know, back in the day, me and Tony, once Mike Birch got done playing, they brought Tony Phillips in as a transfer quarterback for me and him to battle the starting spot, you know. And I only started in four games. He started the rest and played, and I don't even know if I started in four, but he was back, you know, and comes back every year. So, and he looks in a lot better shape than me and can throw still a better ball than me. He deserved to beat me out back in the day. I have no problem admitting that.
Well, I saw him after the game. I said, "Hey, you still got a little bit of arm." He says, "I won't be able to throw for 4 weeks."
No, he still can throw it, man. That's why I didn't get very many reps. My wife was there last night. I didn't want her to really see how bad I was. In her eyes, she still thought I was pretty good, you know. I mean, but she did go to school here and see me standing on the sidelines a lot.
Well. The last thing that you told me when we talked after it, and you said you were really excited about the fall, and I think that probably should have a lot of Hornet fans excited, because this is a football team I thought took big strides last year as the season went along, and you got a lot of guys coming back, and I'm really excited about what this team can do.
I am too, Greg. You know, and again, there's still a lot of things that go into, you know, having opportunities to win games. You know, the MIAA is a bounce, a fumble, a turnover, a play here, you know, that separates you from being, you know, a playoff team to, you know, a bowl team to not doing anything in the postseason. And fortunately, we've been able to be in the postseason six out of the last 9 years. And, you know, three of those are bowl games and, you know, or four of those are bowl games, and man, those are awesome to play in. But you know, we want to get in the playoffs, and I'm not anointing us that is where we're going to be at. But I think we got a chance. I think we got an opportunity, and we got a good group of young men. That's the thing that I get proud of. I'm so proud of. You know, I mean, just how we are and the makeup of this unit. You know, they care about one another. They care about football. They get good grades. They, you know, we got a few knuckleheads, but not very many. You know, got just a group. It's important to them, you know. So you want to see success for them, especially guys that have stayed around here, like a Dalton Cowell and Corey Thomas. Man, those guys have been here 5-6 years, you know. So you want to be able to see those guys have success. We do understand it's going to take a great summer for us, and we're looking up, and hopefully everybody gets fired up about football season. And you know, right now we're at a time just in Emporia State in general where. There's a lot going on, and you know, from the culture and things like that of changing and evolving, and that's where, you know, let's pack welts, let's make it something that's a common thing, and get people fired up at tailgates, and you know, really you know, get the college experience, the atmosphere going. You know, that's one thing it will help us too, you know, in general.
Oh, so the rumors don't get started. And before we can squelch them, looking for a new athletic director at Emporia State, is your name in the hat?
No, my name is not in the hat, you know. So I got enough responsibilities just being a head football coach. That's what I still love to do. That's not changed. It's part of me, and until I still have the drive, the energy, and all that. It's not changed since when I first got here, you know. And maybe it's even more now because I believe we got a chance to be, you know, to have a good team next year. And I love this university. I know that, and I would love to do it at some point, but right now it's just, it's not that time.
Well, Coach, thanks for coming in and talking Hornet football. We could probably go a couple more hours.
Yeah, we could. I know it.
But, hey, there are other things that can be done on Saturday morning, and thanks for coming in, and we look forward to August the 8th when the team rolls in for their first day to report, and then, of course, September 1st when you kick it off against Northeastern State.
You bet, Greg. It will be here before you know it. Thanks for having me on.
That's Emporia State head football coach Garen Higgins joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Again, congratulations to our Complete Works Athletes of the Week, Caden Massey from Emporia High and Jordan Picolette from Council Grove. Don't forget, coming up today here on KVOE, Royals baseball. So Royals take on the Seattle Mariners. Our coverage gets underway at 7:30. First pitch is set for 8:10 as the Royals look to get back on the winning track. That's it for now. We'll see you next Saturday with our next edition of Sports Talk. It's been driven by LongBineAuto.com.
Live and local, AM 1400, KVOE Emporia.